The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Elbert Lewis. Today my rant is entitled Entitlement Nation. And this rant was a long time coming, unlike most of my rants that sort of take me by surprise. It started months ago, in fact, back in August of this year, during our family reunion. And it was just when the campaign was heating up. And of course, along with the good food and catching up on all the family news. Of course, the discussions of the campaign and prospective candidates came up in the conversations. And being one of the few conservatives in my family, in fact, probably the only one, or at least the only vocal one, I was sort of not necessarily the center of attention of one of the conversations, but I guess the target of a lot of liberal and democratic barbs. At one point in time, I was starting to feel like General Custer at the Little Bighorn. And especially one of my relatives who's a rather vocal liberal, he kept pointing at me and calling me a Republican. I continuously had to correct him. No, I am a conservative independent. But anytime somebody new would join the conversation, he would point at me and say, he's a Republican. I guess that was supposed to shame me and shut me down or whatever, you know, but I'm a lot stronger than that. But anyway, at one point in time, we were comparing Obama and Romney, and he was saying that, well, I started the conversation by saying if we keep down this road that Obama's leading us with all this social spending, then it's going to bankrupt the country and everybody's going to suffer. But he said his counterpoint was that Mitt Romney and his campaign was analogous to Hitler when he was coming to power. I said, what? Come on. You're going to compare Romney to Hitler. And I tried to tell him, you know, we've lived through Republican administrations before, and it wasn't Armageddon. It wasn't the end of the world. There was no genocide. There was none of that. There was no deportation of black people back to Africa and all the things that he was trying to insinuate might happen. And at one point in time, he even got up and walked away angry that I would sort of not defend Romney, but at least to state that he's not a Hitler. And so he finally came back to the conversation. And then one of my cousins has a new wife, and she sort of got into the conversation. After a few minutes of back and forth, I could tell that she was kind of on my side, rather conservative. At one point in the conversation, she looked at my relative, who will remain nameless at this time, and asked, what do you feel you're entitled to? His eyes got big, and his mouth slammed shut, and his eyes got big, and he looked at her, and he couldn't think of anything to say. I've known this person all my life, all of his life. I'm a little older, and he's always been productive. As far as I know, he's never been in trouble with the law, never had a drug problem. He owned a home before I did. And so I wonder, how in the world did he come to feel that he's entitled to all these goodies, or other people are entitled to all these goodies at the expense of working people, of which he was one? But anyway, my cousin's new wife, I actually got up and hugged her and welcomed her to the family, because now I don't feel like I'm so alone anymore in these political discussions that crop up every time we get together. That was when the seed for this rant was planted during that family reunion. It germinated when Romney, in his campaign speech to a group of rich donors, made his infamous 47% comment. Now, in a sense, Romney was correct, but his numbers were off. He claims upwards of 50% of people are dependent on government and expect the government to give them goodies at other people's expense. But it's not 50%. It's more like 20 or 25% of people who are dependent on government, who like the goodies they get from government, who will probably vote their own selfish self-interest in the liberal or democratic ticket. But the other half of that 50% are the people who want to give them goodies, who for one reason or another feel that it's okay for the government to take money from them and others who are productive and give it to people who are unproductive. I guess a lot of them are Jesus freaks and they're punching their ticket to heaven by taking care of, I guess, the needy, if you want to call them that. Some are just radical liberals who are on a guilt trip about the way minorities have historically been treated in this society. But the other portion, a fraction of those people who like the entitlement programs are the people who ultimately benefit. And those are the people who Romney and people that think like him fail to take into consideration. Look at it this way. People that depend on the social services programs are a lot like pets, and we treat them like pets. Because with pets, you put food and water in one end, and you get poop and pee coming out the other end. You provide shelter, and every once in a while, you take them to the vet. In between, you get a few warm fuzzies, or if you had a service dog or a guard dog, you get some useful action or benefit from them. But for the most part, poor people are like pets. But pets don't accumulate wealth or get rich. When you think about the social services programs, all the billions of dollars that goes into those programs, I heard a figure the other day that the average family on welfare, or whatever you want to call it, gets an average of $61,000 in government help every year. That's in cash assistance, non-monetary services, and the cost of program administration. Think about that. That's quite a bit of money. If they got all of that money, we wouldn't have any poor people. But the bulk of that money does not go to the people that are using the social services. Yeah, they get enough to subsist on. They get enough to eat on a regular basis. They get a roof over their head and they get medical services, but they don't accumulate any wealth. They don't really, other than being kept alive as pets, they don't get much benefit out of it. But where does the bulk of that money go? Well, and this is what the Republicans refuse to acknowledge. First of all, if corporations are people, then so are the government bureaucracies that administer the social services programs. We're talking about hundreds of thousands or perhaps millions of people, largely middle class people, whose positions, jobs, livelihoods depend on the continuation of the social services programs. And this is why the entitlement programs are so huge and will probably continue to grow. Think about it. When it comes to food stamps, yeah, the poor get to eat, but where does the money go? Where does the profit go? It goes to Kroger's and whoever else accepts those food stamps or EBT cards. That's where the wealth is accumulated. Section 8 in public housing. Yeah, the poor get a roof over their head, but the wealth goes to those people, middle class, upper middle class people, and corporations who own rental property. They are the ones that benefit the most. They are the ones that are accumulating wealth. It's their investment. And believe me, they get market rate rents for some houses that are in undesirable locations, and they would never get that kind of rent if they have to go on the commercial market, because they would never get the clientele to move into those areas. But they get those market rates from the government, and they make a killing. Let's look at medical services, Medicaid, and all the other healthcare programs. Financially, who benefits the most? True, The poor get the medical services, but the doctors, the hospitals, the clinics, all these professional type people make a living off of the poor. They are the ones that get paid the astronomical salaries. They are the ones that are probably investing in accumulating wealth. It's not the poor people. And that takes me to the next phase of this rant. The seed was planted at my family reunion. It was germinated by Romney's comments. And it sort of blossomed when, in the last week of October, I read an editorial in my newspaper written by George Will. Now, if anybody knows anything about George Will, he is a staunch Republican. And I read something in his article that sort of blew me away. And let me read you a short passage. And I quote, "The growth of entitlement spending over the past half century has been distinctly greater under Republican administrations than Democratic ones. Between 1960 and 2010, the growth of entitlement spending has been exponential. But in any given year, it was on the whole over 8% higher if the president happened to be a Republican rather than a Democrat. The Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, and George W. Bush administrations presided over especially lavish expansions of the entitlement state." Close quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why entitlements are so huge, because both parties engage in buying votes with the entitlement programs, with our tax dollars. The only difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is the Democrats make no bones about it. They're upfront about it. They're taking care of their dependent constituency, whereas the Republicans want to demagogue the issue, pretend that they want smaller government and less social spending, when in reality, they are the ones who lavish the most on the entitlement programs because they know who are the recipients of the true wealth, who builds the wealth from the social services programs. A lot of people, especially productive people, working people, well-to-do, even rich or wealthy people, they look down their nose at poor people. And they ridicule them and accuse them of being what's dragging our economy and our society down. But it's not just poor people, poor uneducated people. You know, going back to this editorial from George Will and reading this, there is a whole nother class of people who feel entitled. And it is becoming a very serious problem in this country. Let me read further from the editorial. "Did you know that since 1948, the labor participation rate has gone from 89% to 73%? And that was the male labor rate. So today, 27% of adult males in this country do not consider themselves a part of the workforce. And it gets worse. One of the reasons for that is that they feel neither a duty nor a necessity to work because they're gaming the system. Did you know that since 1960, disability entitlements have gone from an average of 455,000 workers receiving disability payments in 1960? It rose to 8.6 million in 2011. Think about that. That's a phenomenal rate. And these people are claiming disability, and they're being supported for the most part through taxpayer-funded programs. When you look at these people and you say, well, they used to work, and so I guess they earn their benefits. But really, are they? A lot of these so-called disabilities are mood disorder disabilities. And that is why the Social Security system is so underfunded, because not only does it pay for pensions, which people earned, but there's also SSI. And in the black community, they're called crazy checks, because if you have a relative, a parent or relative that worked and made contributions to Social Security, and you have a child or dependent that has mood disorders or mental problems, then you can get a check. If you have a substance abuse problem, you can get a check. Imagine that. You can be totally irresponsible to the point where you're hooked on drugs or you're blasted out of your mind on alcohol, the worst drug, and you can get a check from the Social Security Administration. There's no wonder we're going broke. Don't look now, but the problem is going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. Let me read you another excerpt from George Will's editorial, and I quote, "For every 100 industrial workers in December 2010, there were 73 workers receiving disability payments between January 2010 and December 2011. The U.S. economy created 1.73 million non-farm jobs, but almost half as many, 790,000 workers, became disability recipients. This trend is not a Great Recession phenomenon. In the 15 years ending on December 2011, America added 8.8 million non-farm sector jobs, but 4.1 million workers went on disability rolls." Close quote. So it's getting worse. It's accelerating. For some reason, there is a growing percentage of the American population who feels they are entitled to a living at the expense of other Americans. This is at a time when the last figure I heard was there was over 3 million job openings in this country that go unfilled because people either lack the skills or the motivation to go after them. So you see, when Romney made that 47% statement, he was really understating the problem. It's not just poor, uneducated people that can't control their reproductive cycles or breeding like rabbits and want other people to take care of their broods. But there are other segments of the population who have been in the past productive people that are dropping out of the system. I guess they, in their minds, they see unfairness. They see the well-to-do, the influential, the rich, ripping off the system, manipulating the system to their advantage. I guess they decide that they're going to take advantage of the system in their own little small way. But what happens to us? The productive folks, the middle class, the people that work for a living, pay their taxes, mind their own business. We're stuck in the middle. And during the campaign, if you thought you were voting for an end of entitlements by voting for Romney, you're sadly mistaken. Your thought processes are muddled because you've drank of that red Kool-Aid for far too long. Historically, at least according to George Will, and I have no reason to doubt his figures, the Republicans have been responsible for more entitlement spending than the Democrats. So what are we to do? If you've listened to any of my podcasts, you know by now I don't rant just to hear myself talk, that I don't just bring up these problems with our society or our nation without offering some kind of solution. Well, this is my solution to the entitlement nation. We should all stop drinking the red Kool-Aid and the blue Kool-Aid and start from this day forward and only drink that cool, clear, ice mountain spring water with no political flavoring or additives. And maybe then, after we clear our systems of these political ideologies, perhaps we can take some steps to address the entitlement nation before it's too late to save our nation. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from The Edge.